And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Hope everybody's off to a fabulous start of their day today. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We got a lot going on the program today. Preseason football tonight for the Tennessee Titans. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us for his weekly visit, normally on Thursdays at 8, some shuffling this week, so he will be with us at 7:30 on today's show. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8:15. We'll get his thoughts on everything he's seen from the Titans to this point in the week, so all that coming up. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How we doing?
Oh, it's another beautiful day.
Oh, good.
How are you doing?
God, just do we have... Do we have any improvement to report, or about the same?
I'd say that last night is some of the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. I want to apologize to all the people who had, like, gout that was, like, serious, and then I sort of made fun of it for years. Yep. 'Cause now I get it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to all of you.
Were you, like, cursing out Kuharski in your head throughout this whole process, or was there even thought of that at that time?
No, I was like an unbearable jerk last night, so apologize to my family too.
Get a lot of things out there this morning. Just
wife, exactly.
Children, everyone, I apologize. People with gout.
Sorry.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that you're in extreme pain.
I'll think of some others.
Like, in all seriousness, you know, we have fun with your gout, but I do not want you to be in pain at all.
No, it can be a mother. So I'm going to go to back to urgent care yet again, and I'm going to beg. I guess I'm becoming like a drug seeker. I'm going to beg for any other. Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe horse trank. Take a needle and put it right in that spot. I don't care. So, yeah. Fun times.
Yeah, sounds like it's just a great time out there. You in so far? How are we doing? What's going on?
Doing good. Thanks. Happy Friday, everybody. No gout to report here.
That's good.
Been feeling okay for the most part. I did realize.
It's not contagious, thankfully.
Well, that's also
good.
Yeah,
that is also very
good. If it
good.
Was a few weeks ago, I'd have got it.
Yeah, I did realize,
I looked over
though,
that foot's up in the other chair over here and be like, well, that would have been it for me.
Yeah. You don't watch the diet, you know, watch the, yeah. But, we have a function today, tonight, this evening, so I will not be watching the Titans game live.
Good for
I
you.
Just realized. So this morning, I was like, oh, we got that tonight. Oh, the Titans play tonight.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a
I
real heartbreaker.
I guess I'll be hitting that on the DVR.
Yeah, I guess so. Don't get to watch Tim Boyle play, so you're not really missing a whole lot.
That's true.
See what Trevor
exciting,
Siemian can do.
Exciting stuff is pretty much in the bag at this point, so we'll see. But hope everybody has a great weekend.
Hope everybody
T-Wiggle,
does.
T-Wiggle, though.
T-Wiggle. Yeah, T-Money Wiggle out there. See what can go down with Trevor Siemian, who I would assume we're going to see a lot of tonight. I kind of hope we see a lot of Brandon Allen tonight. I'd like to see him go out there and, you know, play some decent football. That'd be nice to see. So hopefully we'll see some of that tonight. But, of course, I mean, the all eyes are going to be on Cam Ward, and sounds like he might get two series, maybe three. We'll see what happens in the game tonight. But – regardless of whether or not Atlanta is playing starters, and I would much prefer Atlanta to play starters, but we'll see if that happens or not. It'd be nice to see the offense and Cam Ward go out there and look like they've got a clue out there tonight.
Yeah, and I'd guess three. Just my guess would be it's only if they go three and out. It's like, okay, let's try one more time. But he probably wants to see him, you know, play about 10 to 12 plays, something in that range. But again, that's better than nothing. Thought maybe with the two joint practices that wouldn't happen. So
yep,
it's a positive that we get to see a little bit of that, plus the one's offensive line. And I have not heard, and maybe I just missed it, but I haven't heard like Raheem Morris's plan. It'd be cool if, you know, he was going to play some, at least some starters on both sides of the ball. to make it a little bit more interesting here. I don't know what his philosophy is, but
I'm yeah, because especially sure he said the quarterbacks aren't going to play.
Yeah,
the court. Yeah, well, yeah, so, Cousins and Penix, which not too surprising, but like,
I don't know about
can
the
we
rest
can
of the
we
first
see some
team,
James Pierce tonight? Some of their top pass rushers to really see if this offensive line is still, you know, playing well. I mean, for right now, I think there's some growing optimism about that. If there's one aspect of this team with some optimism kind of building, I think it's probably that one, but you'd like to get the best look possible.
So it'd be also great tonight if, you know, we walked away from the game and we didn't talk about, like, Easton Stick looking like Dan Fouts out there. That'd be awesome. Like, don't let Easton Stick go out there and just kill you tonight if you're the Titans. Keep Easton Stick off the board.
Yeah, of course. I think at this point, the Titans threes, yeah, I just, which makes sense. Yeah, they're not.
But they might be saying the starters might be seeing a little bit of Easton Stick.
Is Easton, so is he is getting the start? Is it?
I don't know. I would be surprised if they played Penix. And I'd probably be even more surprised if, like, Kirk Cousins is like, hey, man, I'm not going out there playing two quarters of the preseason game. Sorry, not happening.
Yeah, I think they said those two aren't playing. So do they have any other QBs?
I'm sure they got another one. But I think Easton Stick is their third guy.
Yeah, well, there you go then. Okay, so I stand corrected. Yeah, yeah, you would like to whoever's playing.
Emory
Jones,
if we
know Simmons,
is number four.
Yeah, Emory Jones.
Okay.
You're going to see a lot of Emory Jones tonight too.
Wow. Wow, gotta love preseason football. Yeah, no Simmons for sure, no Zeitler.
Yep.
But if there are more defensive starters, especially, yeah, you would hope that they could keep Easton Stick contained.
If they get if the starters let Kyle Trask do what he did to them last week, and then followed up with a performance against Easton Stick tonight, it's not very good. That's not good. Not gonna feel good about that heading into next Monday's program.
I honestly don't think Kyle Trask is trash. I don't think he's Kyle Trash.
That's good.
I think he's all right. I think he's decent.
Didn't they take him in the second round?
Was it that high?
I think they did. Let me go back and double check that.
I think they did. God, man. I mean, I remember, like, his first preseason was really rough.
Yeah, second round, 64th overall.
In 23?
2021.
Oh, 21. Yeah, yeah. Geez, 21. Yeah, I remember real early it was like, oh, man, Kyle Trask is bad. But, like, he is a guy that – he's one of those guys who plays a lot in the preseason. He's gotten better. Now, Easton Stick, I don't think you get that same sort of grace, at least not for me.
No, I would say certainly not. We will get into this later, Joe, in more detail. But real quickly, just one thing you're looking at tonight, not Cam Ward-related when it comes to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned the offensive line. That's the best, that's the thing that I'm most interested in if they can get a good look. Certainly, though, I think inside linebacker, like, is James Williams, is he really getting it? Is Cedric Gray actually can be? Cedric Gray did lead the team in tackles last game. I still thought James Williams stood out more to me, and he has been ahead of him consistently. But is there anything there? I mean, look, if you're the Titans, you'd love a guy like Cedric Gray to catch fire and come along. And I'm still kind of holding off on the idea that James Williams is going to put it all together. But I really liked what I saw last game from him. So I think inside linebacker, certainly a place to watch.
Yep, certainly a place to watch on that front tonight. We'll see exactly how they deploy running backs. I'm sure Pollard is going to start. How much does he get the ball? And you're not going to have Spears, so you're going to see a lot of Julius Chestnut tonight and a lot of Mullings as well, I would assume. So we'll see kind of exactly what that breakdown looks like for the Titans and their running game. And look, like, Chestnut and or Mullings need to get ready to play. Talking about a high ankle sprain for Tajay Spears, and maybe he's back for week one, but I don't know how effective he's going to be when he's back in week one. So those guys need to get ready to play some football for the Titans tonight too. So we'll see what happens on that front. Joe, it's been an interesting training camp. We went through some storylines around the league yesterday. Let's check in with our dear friend Mike Vrabel on how things are going up there with the media in New England.
Mike, Stephon Robinson. comments yesterday about how he's not sure about his readiness for week one.
Did you really believe that, Phil? I mean, you're a smart guy. I don't know where you went to school. It wasn't Ohio State, but, like, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that, Phil, or are you just trying to bait me into something?
I'm not baiting you into anything. He did say he wasn't sure he'd be ready for week one. Is there any doubt in your mind?
I don't know the context in which he said it, but you'd have to help me. I mean, he's been out here almost.
I mean, I feel like Vrabel, we got a lot of combative Vrabel really early into camp, right? Like, we haven't even made it to week one yet. We got a lot of Vrabel sniping back and forth with the New England media.
I mean, he's acting like I acted last night, crying about my gout, which I love this texter saying the gout pout should replace the Rex rant.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Talk about a cranky old man, huh? Did Vrabel just turn 50?
He did.
Oh, he did. He just turned 50 like yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that's what it is.
I think he dove in between another fight yesterday too. So
that's what he does.
Yeah.
He's having a midlife crisis. I saw that someone asked him like what kind of cake, and he said that carrot cake is the only thing he would eat. That's a very strong choice. Very strong choice. But if there was like a huge, like the greatest carrot cake in the world on one side, and then on the other side there's like some huge dudes fighting, which one would Vrabel dive into?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I think I'd probably vote the fight. Like, he wants to get in there.
Like, explain that. Like explain that to me. It's like the guy, Stephon Diggs said what he said to that guy. The guy, okay, then brings it to Vrabel and asks him about it. Oh, you believe that? What? Am I supposed to be walking around with a lie detector now?
I don't know. You're not there to ask him. At least he didn't ask the guy what he's doing with his hands. I don't know.
It's just weird.
A lot of back and forth between Vrabel and the New England media. And he made it to week one yet.
I think he's trying to like preemptively be such a jerk to them that he never has to deal with this whole idea of like, oh, the Boston press corps, so tough.
Yeah. Maybe so.
They don't seem that tough.
Maybe so. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, an idea that could be on the horizon in the world of sports. That Rex Road thinks is really dumb. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, we discussed a couple of weeks ago the acquisition of NFL Red Zone, among other NFL properties, by ESPN, and what that means for ESPN, their programming, all those things. Moving forward here, they bought the Red Zone name, so it doesn't have to be just the NFL, which has created the idea that what if ESPN tried to create a college football Red Zone type of show? And actually Roger Goodell spoke about that on SportsCenter and said that basically, you know, ESPN's got the Red Zone name, they can do whatever they want to do with it. Doesn't have to be just the NFL now, which has got people wondering if college football is going to be in their plans there. I think that sounds a little extreme. I think that would be much harder to pull off in college football than it would be the NFL. But, Joe, what do you make of that idea? And does it sound as dumb to you as on paper it kind of does to me?
Yeah, it's always sounded dumb. I think it basically died yesterday because Fox – I think it was front office sports report this. Fox is not going to participate. And you knew so.
Nor should they.
Yeah, right. Like, so you knew somebody was going to, because you have NBC they've expanded what they're doing with the Big Ten and with Peacock, obviously Fox, Big Ten, you know, and then you got, of course, CBS, and then the ESPN, the four major ones. Man, there's other carriers too. I mean, I guess WB does, right? Is it WB? Is WB still around?
I don't think it's been WB in a long time.
CW, yeah. Not WB. CW, sorry. Yeah,
I did get flashbacks to like
two letters.
Batman, though. The good stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so first of all, so it's not going to happen, or I hope this kills the idea, but like it just wouldn't work anyway. It doesn't make sense. First of all, why do people watch the Red Zone? I watch Red Zone if I don't have a particular game that I'm really into, I watch Red Zone because of fantasy football.
Yeah.
Because I figured that it's going to, they're pretty good. It's actually amazing sometimes at how it's like, oh man, my guy's in the red zone. Oh, here we go. Red zone's going to Bears Vikings, you know, and that, so to me, that's perfect with fantasy football. It's, of course, it's two TV partners, you know, allowing all their stuff to be used. It's a small catalog of games, and that's that, you know, it makes sense. Now, I know some people who play fantasy football and college football, they're sickos, but there's not, it's not obviously nearly as widespread. I don't know many people, and there's just so many games. It's all over the place. Now you're not going to get the, I guess I understand why someone would throw it out. They're like, hey, how about a college red zone? But like, I figured that should have been dead on arrival about 5 minutes after thinking about it. And we're still talking about it.
Well, here's the other thing. Like in the NFL, like you've got some options. Like let's say you're somebody like me, like you're a Packers fan. Now, luckily, like the Packers play a lot of games on national TV, so you can watch it. But if not, like you can go play for Sunday Ticket and do all those things. But if you don't want to do that, and you don't want to pay all that money for Sunday Ticket, you can get Red Zone, and you're not watching the whole game, but you're probably going to end up seeing most of the big plays in the game that way. Well, in college football, I mean, unless it's just a, you know, a game that is just really, really low on the totem pole, you can find it on TV, right? Like, it's like you can find all those games. Like, if you want to watch, like, if you're not a Tennessee fan and you live around here and you want to watch Arkansas play, the likelihood is you can find that on TV. So, to me, that's the other part of this is there's so many, like, go, like, we've talked about this before, but I've got YouTube TV, and YouTube TV for college football is awesome because, like, I can watch four games at the same time if I want to. And if I don't want to, you generally will not be able to find a game that's on out there that's of any sort of interest to me whatsoever that I can't find on my YouTube TV package. So that's the other part of this is, like, part of the appeal to Red Zone in the NFL is, like, there's, you know, they black things out, like, regionally. And, like, I can't watch most times the, you know, the Arizona Cardinals broadcast here in Nashville. So, and if I'm not playing for an NFL Sunday Ticket, Red Zone's probably where I'm going to find it. And that just doesn't seem to happen as much in college football. There's so many different channels broadcasting all these games.
Yeah. So some of the, yeah, no, that's a good point. That's another big difference. It's just, you know, people, I mean, in college football, it's also just like, I mean, the windows, you know, remember with the NFL, I mean, I guess this wouldn't necessarily be a huge problem, but you know, the NFL windows are very clear and they're like, it's amazing how like they are. I mean, it's like you set your watch to it, you know, it's going to hit that 3 hours. Here's this window. Yeah. They start the second game. Some of them like right at three, some of them at, you know, what, 3:05, some at 3:25, but it makes sense. The college games are just complete all over the map all day long. And it's just, I don't think it would work. I don't think it would move the needle. And it's not, of course there's gambling in the college realm too. Of course there is, but again, the fantasy bet and sort of just like the orderly scheduling of it all makes Red Zone perfect for the NFL. And, not to mention just the wackiness of the college game too, but you know, maybe we should just do a channel with like, oh my God, look at this weird play from, San Diego State UNLV. Look what the punter did. Holy cow. What is he thinking? You know, maybe we should do that channel.
Well, and again, like the limited number of games in the NFL. I mean, you're talking about 32 teams. We know that there's going to be a Sunday night game every week. There's going to be a Monday night game, at least one every week. You've got your national broadcast games on CBS and Fox that are available to the majority of the country. So when you knock all those out, Joe, there ain't that many games that are left, right? Like, you know, you got a few to pick from for Red Zone. You know, college football, there's just more volume. So when there's more volume, like, again, there's so many channels that play all these games. And I do think, you know, one thing we've talked about in college football, and I think it's gotten a little bit better over the last couple of years, but like the how long some of these games are. The NFL, you could pretty much know that if they start a game at noon, by about 3:05, 3:10, that thing's going to be over, right? And that's right. Unless it's gone to, you know, the edge of overtime, that thing's going to be over. College football, I have no idea. Like when a game starts, It's gotten a little better the last couple of years, but I have no clue that a game that starts at 2:30, it could end at 5:45, it could end at 6, it could end at 7. I have no idea when that thing is going to end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's gotten a little better, but the 3-hour 40 game is still absolutely a thing. John from Nashville says, too many games, too many touchdowns. It would have to be limited to power four to make any sense, but TV deals wouldn't make that work. Right. So, I mean, honestly, as annoying as it is and as annoying as to me, the Big Ten is just about on everything now because I can't get over their stupid playoff plan. I'm actually kind of glad the Big Ten's like, no, you're not getting the Fox stuff. Sorry. So we can just kill this idea and just let Red Zone be an NFL thing. You know, some things are just meant for the pros, and let college football and all its wackiness just live in its own universe.
Would you like to take this time to congratulate Tony Petitti? Did he have anything to do with this?
For turning them down?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
I just feel like we've never said anything positive about him, so maybe now's the chance.
Well, so today for The Athletic, I wrote the 25 most interesting people in college football, and Sankey made my list. I compared him to Darth Vader, but I said that Petitti is trying to turn this into Spaceballs. So there you go.
Nice.
How about that for a fun joke for
you?
Hey, he's Rick Moranis in this. Yeah, exactly. Lord Helmet. Yeah, my shorts is bigger than yours. That's Tony Petitti.
God, what a great movie.
Get out of here.
615-737.
They're actually doing a sequel, right? Did I hear that they're actually doing a
sequel? I think
I heard
that, and I don't know that I'm excited about that. But I'll check it out. Yeah.
I know. I mean, I'll go, but I agree. Sometimes you just leave perfection alone.
Yeah, sometimes it's better just to, you know, just enjoy the original. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, a disturbing story that Rex Road came across and pointed me to earlier this week that has real-life ramifications for everybody. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 6:45. A little bit early today, we got Charles Robinson from 7:30 to 8 from Yahoo Sports. We'll get into all things NFL with him. We got TD today at 8:15, looking ahead to the Titans and the Falcons coming up in the preseason game tonight. So we'll have TD for you a little bit later in the program at 8:15. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, I got to be honest with you. I was not aware of the story we're about to talk about until you pointed it out to me earlier this week. It's from Dan Wetzel, and it's on ESPN.com. So why don't you set up exactly kind of the quick synopsis background of the story and the work that Wetzel did on this to uncover this and how it has real-life kind of ramifications for everybody, that especially if you've got kids that are playing sports and kids that are growing up in today's culture.
Yeah, it's a really heartbreaking story. It's a really important story. I think it's a really important story in particular for anybody listening who, you know, is a high school athlete or is a parent of a high school athlete. That's where this is targeted, because kids who are trying to get recruited, you've heard this, right? I've said this to my kids. Don't put stupid crap on social media. Whatever you put on social media, whatever you put on the internet, that can be used against you. You know, college recruiters and stuff, they go through kids' social media stuff. And, yep. You know, so be smart about that. So there's this, really you could take it to like society. You know, it's like on Facebook, every family is like, hey, we're smiling and happy all the time.
Yeah.
I should have taken some pictures of me last night. but it's all like, hey, everything's fantastic out here, you know? So, but it's like, if you're a high school athlete, of course you want to have a good image on social media and you want to, you know, I mean, you are a good kid, but you want to make sure you look like a good kid. There's a lot of pressure in that way. And there's a lot of dumb stuff that happens, obviously, and with phones and with Snapchat and all this stuff. So Dan Wetzel, friend of the show, did this story. I think it published, published about 5 days ago.
Yep.
I really, if anybody I would really advise anybody to read that. We can't, you know, do justice to the whole story in one segment of the radio, but the title is "The Predatory Web of Sextortion Increasingly Ensnares Young Athletes." It's built around this just a heartbreaking story of this kid, Jordan DeMay, in Marquette, Michigan, who gets, you know, it's like it's Instagram, and gets a DM from someone who, like, a picture of a pretty woman, you know, says she's 19-year-old from Atlanta, and they start texting back and forth. He has a girlfriend. He, you know, they start texting back and forth. Long story short, they exchange pictures, right? And then immediately this turns into pay me like $1,000 or the picture you sent me is going to your girlfriend. This is like targeting someone,
yeah.
And you can find out their contacts, and you can find, you know, so it gets to the point where this kid didn't have the money. And again, long story short, and the story is told really well here. It's again, heartbreaking. You know, Jordan killed himself, and the shocking thing is, you go through the story, there are a lot of examples of this. And it turns out these are like a couple guys from Lagos, Nigeria, who did this scam and others. Some of them have actually been extradited, to be held accountable. But it's all over the place, these attempts to extort kids with stuff like this, trap them into something, and then extort money from them. And there's a lot of instances in this story of suicides resulting from this, which is, you know, again, that's another issue. It's like, man, it's $1,000. It's, you know, it's a silly picture. Yeah. But the bottom line is, this is happening. They're getting targeted. And so everybody needs to be aware of this stuff. The awareness of this story, I just feel like it's an obligation to share this as widely as possible, because, you know, as parents, let's be honest. I mean, I know you guys have younger kids. We should have done way better with some of our limitations on things, but like, you just can't control everything. Yep. That they're talking about, and the conversations and the different apps. I mean, it's just at some point, like they are kind of adults in that world, and they need to know about this, and parents need to know about this, and be as prepared as possible to deal with this and head this off before something like this happens to you.
Yeah, like I was reading through this, and I guess I had never heard or seen how prevalent that this was, and how much that young kids and young athletes can be targeted in things like these. And again, like you said, I mean, there's no way that in a 15-minute radio segment we could do this entire story justice. It's on ESPN.com. Dan Wetzel wrote it. And again, it's a semi-lengthy read. You have to devote a few minutes to it, but it's worth the read. Like you said, it's an incredibly sad story. And, you know, it's a lot included of the parents in here, of how they had, you know, no idea what was going on. And in basically one night, their life changed so dramatically because of one instance here. And it's, you know, like you said, it's heartbreaking to read. Like, you know, as a parent, you start thinking about these things, and it's just awful. So something to be really aware of out there, of just making sure that you're aware of the different dangers that social media can present, and being aware of this and educating your kids about it. Obviously in a way that you as the parent have to choose how you want to handle that, but just educating the kids about it so they don't fall victim to some of these things. Because like you said, it's so hard in today's culture to control everything, right? Like there's, you know, yeah, you can have limitations on the phone of what the kids can do. And yeah, you could say, hey, you're not in the Facebook count until you're 16 years old or whatever it is. But like at some point, like they're kids, they're on the phone, and you know, there are realities and dangers that exist. And I had no clue, I guess, Joe, how prevalent this was until reading this story by Wetzel.
No, I didn't either. It makes sense, like, you know, targeting athletes, things like that. But no, I didn't either. You think about all the scams that are out there. I mean, I'm sure anybody listening has dealt with something. I mean, whether it's even the really lame ones from a long time ago, like, I am Prince blah, blah, blah. If I need you, you know,
yeah.
I need you to say. And then, I mean, there are some sophisticated ones. I got, I got, I got about, what, 8 years ago, and put in a password.
Yeah.
Because it said something like, you know, whatever, your, I don't know, your subscription or your, it was something about a virus, and the computer put in a password, and we got robbed out of my bank. So, like, you know, so like and the phishing, the sophistication of the phishing emails, all the different ways that people on the internet are trying to rob people. I mean, it's widespread, but this one, no, I really didn't know it was, but you think about it and it is like, because of the pressure and because of recruiting and this need to like, make sure, you know, and I've been that parent saying, make sure, man, do not do anything stupid on the internet. I mean, look, you don't want anybody to do anything stupid, period. But it's like, just understand these people out there, they go through everything. Well, these people, these scammers know that, and they know that these young kids feel that pressure. And so, you know, you read through these things and it's like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You can, if it's not hard to just go target someone, look, find some of their contacts and just be in a position to, if they make the mistake and send a picture, okay, well, I'm sending it to all these people now, so pay me. And it's just, you know, it's again, separately,
yeah,
so heartbreaking that it has led to these kids harming themselves so much. But you know, again, that's kind of a separate issue, but bottom line is to get out in front of it and be aware. Wes in Clarksville says kids don't need phones and social media until they get driver's license. It's too much bad out there. Yeah, I mean that sounds good. The phones, the social media part of that, I would agree. I mean, yeah, go as long as you can. The phone thing is hard. It really is hard, because sure, there's a safety side of that too, right? Where you want to be able to
get in contact with your children,
monitor your and that's part of the problem.
Well, you know, from this article, you know, there's an FBI agent in here that it talks about some numbers. It's, quote, our victims subset really began to shift. Instead of having a high number of females targeted, our male population between ages of 14 and 17 really started to get targeted. And we also found that suicide risk in that population was also much higher than in traditional sextortion. And they throw out some numbers here, and it talked about in 2022 there were like 10,000 reports of these incidents, and by 2024, so 2 years later, it had risen to more than 30,000. So, like, it just kind of shows you how quickly some of this stuff is getting on the radar out there.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, I'm like, good work by, you know, like FBI and police to get through this and actually get to the point where some of these people can be prosecuted. Yep. Obviously, you hope that that's a deterrent, and that this story being out there and some of these people being held accountable helps. But yeah, just read it and share it if you can.
Yeah, again, Dan Wetzel, the author of this, it's at ESPN.com, came out about 5 days ago, but Rex Road found this and felt like it was worth sharing, and I totally agree. So go check that out. Take some time to read it for yourself and educate yourself on that. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Charles Robinson will be with us at 7:30. We'll get into all things NFL with him from 7:30 to 8 on today's program. All that coming up. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I'm inventing solutions for gout.
Brain cancer.
Catch one stray pee-pee and...
No gout about it.
Go goo-goo gaga. Woo! Look at that little man running around. He's going to be a great pro.
Am I a clown to you, Mike?
That ball hit high and deep. Stretch. Get on back there. They look up. You can put it on the board. Yes.
It is that time of the day, an early edition of the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Joseph, I felt like you might be in a ranting mood today. So with that in mind, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I was actually going to, I've been holding on to a Tigers rant. And I was actually going to do it today if they lost to the freaking Minnesota Twins again last night. And I mean, Tarek Skubal gives up 3 runs early, and it's like, are you kidding me? But the Tigers are showing a little grit.
Yeah.
They came through and they won, so I'll lay off that Today, I'm going to talk about the Michigan Wolverines.
Okay.
The 2023 Michigan Wolverines, because today they get their penalty from the NCAA. I don't know what it'll be. There's some reporting it'll be the biggest fine ever included. Yeah, I know. But I mean, the problem is that the penalties in the NCAA structure make no sense, because it's not fair to hit a current team, you know, for what this team a few years ago did. What you need to do is you need to penalize the people who cheated, right? I mean, that's it. So I think they've gotten a little better about that. Like, the show causes are all you can really do. So I think we'll see something like that. It is a little different with Michigan with Sharon Moore being there still. So maybe there will be more of a suspension. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be anything major, but I think this is a good time to say, for one more time, I want to take Michigan fans out of the discussion. You have no – shut up. I know. Your team did nothing wrong, and if Connor Stallions wore Ohio State scarlet and gray or Michigan State green and white, he's the biggest cheater of all time. And it's the same hypocrisy for the Ohio State, Michigan State fans. You shut up too. None of you can have any part in this discussion. You are biased, and this is what college sports is. And it's the exact same situation happened with your team as the other team. You flip it around, you'd have the complete 180 on your take, right? We know this. Can we all agree on this?
Yes.
It's a pointless discussion. So take them out of it. I really think some people have, and Dan Wolken wrote a really good column on this in USA Today. I kind of wrote the same thing a couple months ago, and of course I got called like okay, shut up. But Dan Wolken made a good point. And this is my whole thing with this. We can all laugh now at the recruiting cheating stuff, right? Not that it mattered. I mean, if your team lost out on like the program changing recruit because the other team paid him, well, that sucks. But also your team was probably trying to pay him and just didn't pay him enough or whatever, right? Yeah. That's another thing that fans can't seem to wrap their mind around. The other guy's cheating. Our coach, though, he's got integrity. Yeah,
or exactly. You had Adidas and everybody else had Nike, which apparently is a big concern now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Tennessee's going to lose recruits so much now because they switched to Adidas. Good God. Okay, but this instance should be something we all agree on. And I think this is a great, you know, Wolken had done this big thing on cheating in general for USA Today. And he quotes this sociologist who makes the point, right? I want to make sure I get this guy's name right. This is, I'm doing a really good job of this. Sean Klein, he's an Arizona State philosophy professor, okay? But he's written about ethics in sports. And the point being, you know, look, obviously people cheat on taxes. Like, in society, people cut corners, right? And that happens. You know, society is going to exist and people are going to cut corners. But sports are like, the whole point is, here are the rules of the game. You know, like, you don't have a game if you don't have that, right? Like, you, so it's different than just, oh, yeah, of course people cut corners. And I think in any instance, and I think of like the Astros cheating scandal, when it's something where like you're actually cheating, you are the game itself, you are cheating. I think that's something we all should be able to agree on, right?
You would think.
So I'm going to read Wolken here, you know, and I agree with Wolken. Like, and I've said and written this. I think Michigan was the best team. I consider them the national champions. Frankly, with when that team, all this stuff went down and Harbaugh got suspended and they played all their good games after that and won them, that told me enough. They were the best team. I don't think they should have the title vacated. I don't think that should be part of the punishments. However, I'm going to quote Wolken. Quote, "But whether Michigan cheated on its way to a national title shouldn't be up for debate. Thanks to an enterprising staffer who was so desperate to impress his bosses that he crossed every line imaginable, the Wolverines were playing a different game than their opponents. And if you can't acknowledge that, they played you too," end quote. let's just all acknowledge they were cheaters. Blatant cheating. And it absolutely matters. And if you are sitting there next to the D coordinator in this game in Ohio State that you shockingly won, and you just see Connor Stein say, it's this, boom, 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 Jesse Minter, get the call in. I mean, it's obvious that it mattered. Yes, everybody tries to steal signs, but he did things so far beyond cheating to get more information. I don't understand why this is hard. So it's not the same to me as you know, it's this kid got a car, you know, Eric Dickerson got a Trans Am or whatever. This is actually cheating the game, and it should be treated seriously. As we know, the NCAA is largely a joke when it comes to enforcement. So I'll be interested to see what they do. But I just feel like we can end this chapter, and we should all agree that Connor Stallions and the Michigan Wolverines cheated. And did you ever watch the Netflix special, Robin?
I did, yes.
I mean, the amazing thing about that one is, again, if you it mostly – like Michigan fans somehow watch that, like, see, they're like, dude, you watched that and you thought they didn't cheat?
Yeah.
My God.
I thought I was watching Jack Ryan at one point. I was like, what's going on out here? Jeez.
Then like, there's no way that you'll ever be convinced. And then again, this is the tribalism of college football. It's part of why we love it, but it's also part of why all those people who are so biased should never be in this discussion anyway.
I thought you were going to get on here and come out with finally some actual evidence that Michigan called Shane Beamer and South Carolina and gave them all the Tennessee signals back in 2022. And that's why they scored 1,000 touchdowns in that game.
Well, I don't know about Michigan, but Connor himself?
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about this. I don't dismiss that whatsoever. And I think that remember, if you're Michigan at that point, you want Tennessee the hell out. It's a 4-team playoff, and it is of high interest to you.
Here we go.
To have Tennessee. I've said this on the show before, and we've talked about it. Like, I've asked a few coaches on that staff, that Tennessee staff, if they believe that this was a thing. I mean, they scored touchdowns on 10 straight possessions.
Yeah.
Right? Or you know, was it couldn't have been 10 straight.
I think it was 8. Yeah.
I mean, it was something absolutely insane. And, you know, I never got back anyone who was like, oh, we're sure of it. But certainly, like, well, we talked about it. It's like, I don't know. You tell me, right? Yeah. I mean, it's weird.
It's very weird.
You know, but if you look at all of what Connor Stallions did, I think it's absolutely plausible that Michigan and Connor Stallions had a hand in that South Carolina win over Tennessee.
Shane Beamer, you dog. You dog. See how it goes for him this year.
But see, you know, maybe Shane didn't, you know, again, it's like being the head of
an
organized crime family. Yeah. Well, there's always buffers, you know.
Yeah.
So Shane didn't talk to anybody. I have no knowledge of that. I don't know.
Spurrier. Deep cover agent. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will get back into the Titans coming up next, including a story on the new stadium that has Rex Road raising his eyebrows a little bit. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.